Today, I want to talk a little bit about the different aspects of the simulation. Here, it's very hard to hold on your work of remembrance because you do, I mean, a lot of forces are working against us to prevent us from keeping track of our progresses and of our, you know, new insights and all the work that we are putting. So in my life, I have noticed that many of my choices, many of my decisions, much of how I was spending my time was mainly artificially led and artificially created. From romantical partners, friendships, you know, people I was engaging with the most. You know, if you go to your old message like 10 years ago and you look, maybe it's going to appear much clearer. Because maybe now you've grown apart from these people you were like exchanging with. You know, because maybe you kind of reached a dead end and had to face either who they were, like maybe some of them were backdrops, which like it's their nature that they're not gonna be very good at deprogramming. They might adapt their behavior, but do they really change? Some do, like there is a growth in some, but the most basic ones are the ones where you have to repeat your boundaries over and over and over again. They always seem to cross them. And you know, I think it's best not to engage in too much explanation. Just stating where the boundaries are and kind of sticking to it, even when they are accessed to really test you in some ways, it's always a test. So I've realized that we're surrounded by AI decisions, AI interacting with us. A lot of it is automatic, you know, and then we get that kind of special kind of attention and monitoring, especially when you do work, you know, in deprogramming or where you truly try to assist others without leading them back to their reprogrammer or to, you know. When you do that kind of work, you're also gonna have the sub-personalities of other people, the alters kind of really reacting in other people, stepping in, and it can be really frustrating. So it's also can be really frustrating to have our own alters to navigate. So it's not easy. So I do understand, but I think that's when it's probably an invitation to kind of reconsider the way you invest your time and why and how often. And it's funny because maybe when you start, you want to retrieve or, you know, you like, I'm going to speak for myself, but maybe I decided to kind of retrieve a little bit. And then what the system's going to send me is really fascinating, because that's when, you know, I will receive a lot of message, a lot of people wanting to organize a call or things like that, when actually what I want is to kind of withdraw my energy and retrieve. So is this another kind of a test? And probably it is. Then where do I put the limit? do I stick to my original plan or do I kind of forget? So I find it extremely complex to pick up the signatures of all these voices expressing in others, sometimes very, very strongly. So you can get like a long email where all you get is these alter expression. None of this is the true signature. So I don't read these emails. I kind of go a little bit through it, kind of looking if there is any substance there, and just not engaging with it. If people are not choosing it consciously and are not ready, then you know it's only gonna it's a precious loss of energy. So it is hard, and the border is fine between wanting to help and wanting to be of service and rescuing, or the savior implants getting activated, or so we've seen a lot of protests going on, no matter what's the subject, you know, against proposition made by the government or the corporations, and what they are interested in that these happenings is the energy of the reels. You know, they don't care about the energy of the backdrop, and the backdrops don't pay a price for the attendance there as the reels do, because it's a form of contract. So it's interesting to notice. Does it lead us anywhere? There are many areas in our life where we kind of loop in circle and back again and back again. So these backdrop characters, they don't really exist when no one fire creation is there to witness them. They have no existence of them, of themselves. Like if you think about quantum physics or these kind of things, where the gaze of the observer is going to change how the dynamics of the happening. It's kind of a good indicator of what's going on in the reality of the real, right? So they make kind of a science of something that is existing in the reality of the reals, and now they even make movies also about some of these aspects with the simulations and, you know, the reals and the non-reals, and it's there, but they always, of course, distort, and the concept's not gonna really deprogram or wake someone up. It's gonna be purely intellectual, and until you kind of live it yourself and see through yourself, then it, you know, until then it only stays at intellectual levels. So what the programs really want is for us to bond and to interact with a lot of simulation aspect, and if not simulation characters, then we're gonna have the really crappy fire creation, the other, like the broken ones, the rageful ones, the possessed ones, the ones not doing their work, the one turning in circle, the one that don't really want to be held, that don't really want to change, that have made this choice in this life, mainly from the trauma they've been through, and it's complicated to live here, yes. So in terms of resisting, the real resistance is in our personal lives, in boundary setting a lot, you know, trying new things in places that maybe we were too soft. You know, we get lazy with boundary setting. We forget. We kind of let the program kind of get in, you know. We can sometimes, some of us. you know, because sometimes we don't always want to live in this like rigid aspect, or maybe we don't want to deal with like the thoughts of the backdrops or the mirroring they make of us according to their vision of reality or whatever it is, why we kind of get lazy. I think a lot has to do with forgetting it's important to set the boundaries, forgetting why we need to set the boundaries. And with all these drugs in your system, it is hard to remember. So we need to flush, and for that sometimes we need to move also, and moving is not always easy, especially when your lymphatic system is backed up. But I feel the hardest is to set yourself in motion, and then it gets easier, like the first times are you know, but it really helps. Some of us are gonna be less tired when we work out more, or just after working out. It's a good way to actually wake up and feel vibrant. So we are seeing a lot of these synthetic, artificially led operations around us. A lot of reels engage to some level with these narratives around them, bound with this operation, you know, with the heart center. And if you don't buy the first level, you know, the mainstream level, well, there are like hundreds of other layers embedded in their operations. So there will be always some layers kind of affecting your direct reality, mainly through relationships, because of others buying into them, and then it has an influence on your life, or yourself buying into some layers of, for example, the fear program, you know, when a lot of backdrops right now, maybe, you know, it's trendy to talk about the price of gasoline, but, you know, it's really like a detail and gossiping, and a lot of backdrops are really loving to talk about this like subject of the price of gasoline and stuff, and getting in their fear state, and then it's kind of contagious, or it the program wants it to be contagious, but then it's our inner work like that it doesn't really get in, right? Backdrops are there to participate to the gaslighting constantly, diminishing you, keeping you in programming, you know, making you feel a certain way with these 3D aspects, triggering you into fear sometimes by their perception, really limited perception of reality. They are also there to disrupt, interfere, to distract, and to create certain states within us, low frequency states. Don't feel good, you just feel, you know, they can also put you in specific brain waves where you are more suggestible to programming. You know, you just forget about who you are and what you're really capable of. And oh, their distraction is working so well. And in the operation, we also find them on personal levels with countless of templates they have just ready for you, you know. It's really something. So we have many templates of these micro operations in our personal life. Oftentimes led by handlers, and handlers, they have so many different templates. They have also like innocent, nice looking backdrop handlers, or anything you will fall for, just you know, you cannot place it, but like it just feel off and sometimes empty. And you also have all these distractions with like the wheels not doing the work, like then, you know, they might be in their victim, non-coherent self in their programming, and you only deal with their outer. So there is really no core to work with. It's extremely problematic. Just complicated. I think you sometimes you really have to choose like the like for the love of your tribe, and sometimes part of this tribe is not in your life yet, for the love of them, you know, for the love of yourself also. Sometimes I think a recalibration is needed. Especially not a lot of reels are aware they are dissociative identity disorder, that they have, that they are split within themselves, that they have alters, they have so many different personalities expressing throughout their days, you know, it's to a certain percentage. Now it's the case for any fire creation being, then it explains a lot about how people are gaining access to us, or sometimes contradiction within ourselves, just some thoughts are purely the product of alters, some alters are programmed to be hostile towards the programmer. Like, so it's interesting to observe when this is happening. But I feel like being aware of having this internal life is key for any fire creation being. And then it helps to know that it helps to question our daily reality. And questioning is generally a good thing, because then we can kind of look more at the details and really what's going on. So how can we differentiate who is who in this game? It's a very complicated, it's a complex, it's very complicated. It's quite complex to discern the signatures. You know, first, I think we get kind of aware of the concept, and then it might take years before we're able really to kind of embody that knowledge and experiencing at a matter level in our interactions with others. And this comes with kind of reclaiming a small percentage of our dormant abilities, and this is going to be different for everyone who is fire creation. Backdrop can have abilities too, you know, some of them are extremely psychic. You know, I have a backdrop cat, he's very like on the low frequency level, where he's accessed and used a lot for interruption and not a lot for nice things, you know, just the percentage of heaviness with him is kind of very important. So he's kind of much easier to spot than more balanced backdrop cats, who gonna be more on the affection side or things like that, you know, where the character is gonna be a little less difficult. And it's the same with backdrop people, you know, backdrop persons, you have the very much more like simple models of backdrops only being interested in 3D, and who don't look further in their life and who kind of don't change. They go from relationship to a relationship, but they don't like do the shadow work, or they don't even know what it is like. And when you express boundaries, they just sometimes they adapt because they have no choice, or but they don't really learn from it. And with these backdrops, I think with most of the with the especially with the most simple templates, I feel it's very useful to limit the amount of information we share with them, not overshare with them, and set boundaries when they go too far. Then we have more like complex signatures, you know, where things get, you know, where you have different energies within the same bodies, or where you it used to be a spirit there and now the spirit is not there, but these beings, they're going to be very different because a spirit was there, so there's like an imprint, but still something is missing. So these ones are much harder. They can be, some of them can be better handlers. They can have like different sides to them. I mean, we all do, but they can have like double sides, you know, play on the angels and demons, like two faces. Then, you know, you have like your random stalker, who's going to be a more like basic template of backdrop, the gang stalkers, you know, the annoying neighbors, or the boring neighbors, or just boring NPC, living boring lives, 3D, just sad. It can make you actually sad if you don't know they are not real. When you know they are just backdrops, then I think it takes the suffering away for them, you know. It's just like, oh, okay, just it just makes a lot of sense. I remember I was sad like a few years ago, maybe I don't know how many years, 4 years ago maybe, visiting one of my high primary school friends. She was my best friend back then, and I'm just feeling sad for her, just with her life, and you know, like her partner, just how he was treating her, and you know, just the 3D things like going on in the flat when I visited, like televisions, or the level of conversation, just the inability to go anywhere else. And at the time I was already aware, you know, of the gap between us. But I wasn't fully conscious and sure 100% that she's a backdrop. I've been rereading some of my diaries, and you know, in school we are surrounded by them, and you're very lucky if you cross paths with any real around you, and if you have reals in your family, that's, you know, whether it's your parents, your siblings, your cousins, your aunts, your grandparents, your children, your pets, all of that, your ancestors. So a lot of these backdrops, they never gonna look further or go further than a certain level in their programming. They are used to trigger fear or shame reaction or guilt. And it's funny how it works. Some of them can have like these erratic people sometimes, who are very good at like vampirizing the reals, and then they will offer some kind of false apologies, just to get you back in, to bond with them again. You just have to be smart enough when you've seen someone just kind of distracting you, sucking your energy without any appreciation for it, any room for change, just like a vortex, like vortex swallowing energy, your time and your precious resource. So we also had like all the corrupted shattered fire creation. And so when you kind of resist most of the degree, like a great deal of the simulation aspects, you know, you don't want to, you don't fall for the distraction, you know, going, especially when it was about, you know, joining backdrops for any of the activities, then, you know, the system is going to send you a little bit more like sophisticated templates. And these can be some of the broken wheels. I mean, usually we get a mix of all of that around us. Sometimes we have a few of real allies also, you know, where there is like a, it's like everyone gives something, you know, everyone opens some possibility for the other person. Then you can see that it's like someone maybe on your level. So I've been reflecting a lot on, you know, what is unreal in my life. And, you know, sometimes you get this kind of wake up moment, and you kind of see it clearly, but then you forget because of the drugs. So every day it's well designed, you know, but if we're really, really honest, like, what is it that we feel we have to do? Where is it unreal? You know, especially with family members, where you accept certain things, certain behaviors, some certain intrusion that you would never accept from anyone else. If you didn't have this long past, like thinking about the parents, you know, where you have this familiarity. So are people around us really the ones we want to have around? And if so, in what percentage, you know, how often, how much we want to give to ourselves, and what do we get out of it? It's very important to focus on our own needs, because no one else will for us. So there is a lot of unnecessary suffering. I feel that most of the suffering ends when becoming really conscious of what's going on really deep levels. And then it's how fast are we dealing with the suffering? We all have these false memories in our life. So either false memories or cover memories. Currently some reals who are falling for either the trucker operation or the war false engineered reality, they are building a false perception of what is going on because they believe in the lies and the programming. They get activated, so they don't have awareness of how they are currently being accessed and how their behaviors and way of thinking has been programmed. So they are building false memories about what's happening in their reality. They have no awareness. They're being currently used and accessed and engaged in the project, you know, like these narratives are also projects. Then we also find a lot of different covered projects happening all around the world or this reality, this realm. So when you're under active programming, you are building a full sense of reality, a full sense of memory. And it usually is there to distract you from what you were building for yourself. And it just postpones things again and again and again and again. And then you accept this postponing because at the same time, not doing the work can feel easier also, or because there is no awareness, right? Or there is no will, or sometimes, you know, it can take 6 months to someone to wake up to really question what was going on and how did I end up here, and like none of it was my decision. Like you have to go really deep within yourself to notice that, to recognize it and to kind of say, whoa, whoa, whoa. So it's the labyrinth here to find the other eye frequency being. There are not so many. I think there are many here in this realm, but the hard part is to kind of connect with them. And a system sometimes flow really works against you. So I think you have to be really sharp and have really strong boundaries if you really wish to meet them. And for the love of that, you know, have to fight like a fierce warrior. And finding these beings, they are not going to often be in the truther scene where you have like a lot of empty templates and organic portals or corrupted beings. You know, it's like any of their programming, you know, it's kind of like a phase. And then I feel a certain degree of disengagement with that community is necessary because it's crowded with simulation too, like any other field. So there is a sense of relief not to fall hardcore for their operations, but there's still so much work to do because of the memory wiping, just to build anything, just to progress, and just very complicated. Just taking ourselves to that corner of reality where we can sit in inner peace, you know, because it's sure that backdrops cannot really awaken. They can mimic, but there is no realness. So I feel it's very important to protect our corners of reality, protect our space. We're gonna see some kind of correlation in the operations that are trying to court us, you know, repetition in the patterns, where it tries to kind of grab you. I had a different backdrops, really courting my heart center, you know, and I thought it was like a mutual exchange, but a few months later I realized that they were unreal and it was an access of my energy, right? Synthetic access, because, and intrusive, right? I didn't experience it as intrusive when I experienced it, but later on these beings just reveal their true nature by how they were behaving, sometimes erratically, just distraction they are. People who are only distraction in your life, not bringing anything good, then why do we let them be in our lives? I met someone like that in a few years ago in a festival, and just different things accumulating about her, you know, how she behaved. She's psychic, so there was like a psychic connection, but how she behaved, how she glitches when I just interact with her, like she just incoherent and never brought anything else than distraction and disruption. So, you know, yeah, I find it complicated. And there is surely comfort in programming. It's comfortable to be there. It's sedating. You know, it's uncomfortable not to fall for the programming. It's uncomfortable not to be part of their operation, because it is lonely, especially when so many beings are falling for so many operations. It is lonely to stand sometimes on your shore and realize like you have not many beings you can play with right now. They all got distracted, you know? So it's very confronting as well in terms of what you're able to create on your own and you know, personally, I always have so much decluttering work where I'm behind that. And it's only in moments like this that maybe I can get to it. And it's important. It's my corner of reality. And why didn't I have space for that in just weeks before? It's because I was myself falling for layers of distraction. And now that there is less, I can finally get to it, right? But then I have to find my way through my own system, right? And my own way of getting sidetracked and distracted and procrastinate or resist or not giving 100% of myself that day. So I think it's important to kind of keep in mind and this really holographic aspect to what we are experiencing here. Our reality is generated by the agreements of what we have created and accepted in our reality. Like, for example, I was mentioning my backdrop cat and how did it get to my reality was a complex story of chaos and handling. You know, he came by my backdrop father picked the backdrop cat in a yard, then brings it back home to my mother, my spirited mother. So that cat can be a distraction in her life and after her passing and me being in the house, guess where the cat has been going. But we do have a choice whether to keep it in my life or not. Knowing his nature is something I've been dealing with the last year maybe. Knowing better, you know, what it is and just seeing more, reading the reality a certain way. So I have a choice, and then what choice will I make, you know? I had these moments where twice, and I meet that face again now, but where I decided that maybe I'm gonna give him up. You know, how they built you in this association. Just so something to think about. It's just hard to go against the programming at such level, you know, where you have to trust your inner knowing despite anything that here the program tells you about how it works and so on and so on. So something to think about. The cat is a good example, but there are many different examples that we can find in our personal lives for sure, and things we kind of could be more sharp about. It's very important, and the mind wiping drugs just encourage us not to be as sharp, not to be good at boundary settings. And it's so very important just to say no to things that are heavy and that we don't enjoy and you know, just all of that. I hope this is interesting in terms of recognizing who is who. I think it's an ongoing process. You know, I might be able to tell for a lot of new person I meet, either directly or online, but there is still a percentage where the signatures are more complex. So I definitely think it's an ongoing process to know what we're really, really dealing with. You know, if there is a spirit there, you know, it's like a discovery. It's like you go for the discovery with other people, with someone else, with another spirit. It's like you cannot predict really how the moment's gonna turn and what's the experience of the other person. But I mean, it's really hard to resume to summarize all of these aspects. I think it becomes easier. A lot we can see in the eyes. Are they like void of energy? Are they kind of frozen? You know, the eyes and the energy, you know, the flow of energy, and is it intrusive? Is it interrupting you? Good luck with your explorations, and if you have our observations, you can always leave me a comment. Thank you.